This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, the theme we've been talking about, discussing about, you know, learning has been spirit versus flesh, cultivating nature and fruits. And we're already in lesson 5. And the topic for today is crucifying the flesh, walking in the spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 to 25. 1, 2, go. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust thereof. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Colossians 3, 5 to 10. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all this: anger, wrath, malice, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image. We have just two objectives this morning. And the first objective is to construe through biblical insight an effective method for mortifying the flesh. The second thing is to show believers the heart posture required to engage effectively in the war against the fleshly nature and to cultivate the nature of the Spirit. Okay, let's go into our introduction quickly. So how a man describes and identifies himself is typically the frame of the flesh. For every soul has become one with the fallen nature. The fleshly program has been internalized as a self-owned and self-defined life. Its laws run the soul, and its understanding shapes both the heart and the mind. Proverbs 21 verse 2 said, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. What does this mean? This simply means that every man has that sole responsibility to keep checking himself. Because that very thing that you believe defines you might just be a product of flesh. That your very strength that you feel proud of, that reality about yourself that you feel very good about, might just be flesh in hiding. That's why when you are corrected, when anybody corrects me, corrects you, we should not be quick to take a stand against such corrections. It's only meekness for us to look again, to check again, to take a step back and look and have an evaluation in the light of righteousness. That is this really how I am supposed to be? Even your responses, our reactions, our actions and inactions can be premised upon flesh. So that's why we must not be quick to label ourselves. No, you can have a label that I don't get angry. You know, you can do big things, you can do terrible things, but we overlook. But the day that you are going to do something very insignificant that will get me upset, and you know, that kind of situation, everybody will be like, ah, no, that guy doesn't get angry. That guy, but that day, they will blame the other person that, no, you have climbed the tree past the leaf. That's one of our Yoruba sayings, that you have climbed the tree and you have passed the leaf. Mean that you are ready to fall. Mean that you have overdone something to make this very gentle person. But really, there's nothing anybody has done that will put anger inside you. If anger is there, it's there. What you bring it out might be different. It might differ from person to person, but if it is there, it is there. It only take a while. It might take all these different calibrations of yourself, the way you think of yourself, that this is me. This is what gets me upset. This is what pisses me off. Once you do this, once you say this, some people, they will never get angry at anything you say, but their button is that talk against their mother. Somebody wants to get at you. They have been doing everything that they can do, but nothing has moved. You just feel like, but immediately they mention your mother. Do you know that anger has been there all this while? That fight has been there, but there's just a button that can bring it out. Somebody be like, I will not, there's nothing you can do, but if you just touch this thing, you will see my true color. So really, the person's true color has always been hidden. What you have been seeing is the fake color. I'm just trying to say that the life that we have defined as our own many times does not belong to us. It has been handed over to us by spirits that rule this world. Spirit that govern this world. That's why, don't place a label on yourself. Don't place a label on yourself. Don't agree with what the enemy is saying about you. Anything short of Christ is not you. You might see it evident in your life, but the warfare is that this is not who I am supposed to be. The warfare is warring against that thing till it changes. So don't agree. Don't sit in that comfort zone and define yourself by what you are not. That woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, Jesus did not label her as an adulterer. What did he call her? Because it's very possible that, you know, Jesus said, asked her, where are your accusers? Accusers are people that lay charges against you. So when they continue asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone. He said unto a woman, he didn't say adulterer. He called her what? Defining her by an essence rather than an action. Say, where are those thine accusers? So this means that they all were labeling charges, they were pressing charges against this woman, accusing her based on what they had seen. But Jesus, after nobody accused her, he also said, I don't condemn thee. So on the premise of labeling her rightly, Jesus gave her a word to go and sin no more. Because accusers now might not be human beings to you. Spirits can accuse you and want you to take on that identity. And then you conclude within yourself that I can never change. This is just me. I have done all I can. I've used a particular habit for 10, 15, 16 years. And I have tried all I can. But at this point, this is me. Either you take me like that or you leave it. I've done all I can, but I cannot change. That is exactly what the enemy wants you to do. And you know, today God is putting a fresh, you know, a fresh burning in your heart to refuse that label. So every way of a man looks right in his eyes. Every way of a man. So that means man is not just labeled with one way. There are many ways that many men embody. As much as a company is putting their effort into producing the original, what happens in the fake market is that you have varieties of fake. When you look at all these shoes, there is a particular shoe that has this logo. You know, this mark, this sign logo. And then you see some that is like half mark. You see half mark. You see some that will face the back. Some that will face down. In fact, you see some that will have the correct logo, but it's still fake. So, depends on what you want to choose. There are different fake in the market. So, when you see men in their different categories, you see different men with different ways. And you see some looks more appealing than the others. In fact, the most appealing one is still not right. Because it is not on the righteousness of faith. So don't define yourself by that thing. That way you are holding on to might just be what the Lord wants to take away from you. That your strength, that what you think this is the best thing about me. You know, you have weaknesses, you have strength, and the Lord might want you to lay down your strength much more faster than that weakness that you are looking at. The strength of your weakness can be hinged on the strength you are glorying in. The continuity of your weakness can be hinged on the strength that you are glorying in. That you don't see anything bad in might be the root that is supplying life to that weakness. Until you find mercy to see that thing and relinquish it, you might never find a way of escape out of that thing. Because on both divides, they are both flesh. So mortifying comes from the Greek word nekro, meaning to deaden or to put to death. It refers to the deliberate subduing of the flesh, starving its operation, weakening its influence, and denying its expression until the nature of the flesh no longer finds room to live within the soul. We read that in Colossians 3:5. While mortifying the flesh through the Spirit, the new nature of godliness is simultaneously cultivated within the soul. It's not an isolated act of suppression, but a spiritual process that unfolds under the atmosphere, shaped by doctrine. As the flesh is denied, weakened, and put to death, new laws are written within the soul. You know, that word, you know, to mortify doesn't sound as, you know, the reality of that word. When you want to kill something, you can kill a thing and then in a few minutes that thing loses life. But this kill, which they also call to deaden, the picture I have in mind is much more to sap life out of something. It's a gradual process of denying the supply of life to a thing, gradually until eventually there's no more life in it. So it's much more like, you know, you tie your leg with a very strong rope. You know, sometimes when there is a scorpion bite or a snake bite, what they do is that they tie that leg so that blood from that side will not flow to the heart. Or you reduce the rate at which that blood is flowing so that you can get the person treated on time. So deadening in this context, called mortifying, is gradually snuffing the supply of life to a particular thing. You are denying the full expression of a reality until suddenly that thing loses its grasp over your life. A brother that has used masturbation for 20 years, you must find the wisdom of the Spirit to consistently deny that thing. It can be for a period of another 2 years. So because you have fought for 1 year and then you still see yourself and you feel like, oh, this is the end. No, you did not start using that thing one day. Some people is from their first exposure as a teenager. You have used certain habits for years. That thing has graduated from knowledge. Some people did not even experience the knowledge of it. They entered into the word of it. Entered into the law.
covenant. People are holding testimony of a habit. For some people, it has lingered from generation. So that thing that you are fighting now did not start with you. So what is required to deal with that thing is not routine as you think it is. So you can use all manner of routines to battle it. Eventually, you will not find victory. We've had people fast and pray. I myself have been a victim. You pray for days, you fast, and on the day you are fasting, you fast with the infirmity. You break your fast with that infirmity. Some people have gone to mountaintops and prayed for days. They have told God, if this does not go, I will die. Some people have even said, God, if I do this thing again, January 1 as you are entering, God, kill me. And you enter it and you are looking at, hope God did not hear my prayer. So, flesh does not regard your prayer. Flesh does not regard your fasting. Flesh does not regard your religious routine as long as you don't understand how to mortify. So you can do all these things and yet you are not mortifying the flesh. You can vow to yourself that this anger issue, you will never express yourself again. You only need to be in the right atmosphere. You only need to be exposed to certain people saying certain things. And you will know. How you know it's still there is that it is boiling inside you. You are fighting to suppress it, but it is boiling. It wants to come out because normally this is how you express. Why do you want to shut me down? That is why I know that flesh can become a dictator. It's no longer negotiating with you, but it's demanding from you. So at the point of expression, when you want to hold it down, you say, no, you cannot stop me. Because it is warring against your will. So although you have a desire to not do such things, there is a stronger force that can subdue your will. There is a force at work that will not stop because you are resisting it. But it will go all out to suppress you and bring you under. So you can go for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days trying to do things to suppress the flesh. But you know that it is a warfare that you have not overcome. Now, what God will be doing to us this morning is to showing us the wisdom of mortifying. Because many things we call mortifying is not mortifying. We are only doing religious routines to satisfy our conscience. But the conscience itself has not been upgraded. Warring against the flesh. The strength of the flesh permeates both the body and the soul. Influencing the conscience and the will. It dulls the sense and erodes the desire for righteousness. Consequently, even when a man desires to engage in righteousness, the power of the flesh makes it nearly impossible for him to carry it out. His will is resisted and his faculties are overpowered by the laws at work within him. We can see that in Romans 7, 18 to 23. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. So there is a missing link between desire and how to perform. And that is where flesh becomes ravenous. Flesh, first of all, likes the place that you are willingly committed to its life. There is no resistance against flesh. Flesh likes that. That you have taken ownership of that life and you are running with it. You have defined yourself as flesh. You have agreed that I am flesh by reason of that agreement. But another place that flesh does not like is this place where you now know by reason of understanding or by reason of knowledge that there is another thing I am supposed to be obeying. So you want to switch allegiance. The place of wanting to switch allegiance, flesh becomes violent. Because flesh does not want you to switch allegiance. Flesh hates it when a man tries to turn his allegiance from flesh to spirit. So flesh becomes violent. Because at that point, what you want to take, you want to take the kingdom. Do you remember that place that we read that said, they that do such things cannot inherit the kingdom? So if a man is not doing such things, what is he looking for? So when you want to take the kingdom, that's why it's only the violent that can take it by force. So flesh becomes violent. So you can have the desire, but how to perform is missing. It's also a warfare that flesh likes to fight. That how is power. When you know how to do a thing, you have gotten the power over it. That's why Christ is both wisdom and power. So when they first give you wisdom, you might not have power yet. You might have another standard raised, but how to do it might be missing. So some people, having received some level of wisdom, they want to perfect that thing in the flesh. That was the issue with the Galatian church. He said, when you started in the spirit, how come you want to perfect it in the flesh? So in the bid of wanting to attain unto perfection, they began to do what they call circumcision of the flesh. So we can begin by the learning of Christ, but want to end it by the what? By the activity of flesh. And it's also flesh that is performing that warfare. So you have a knowledge of Christ, but how to do it? You are still leaning. Because you have watched some YouTube messages and then they are telling you that this thing has results. You also want to lean into it because you feel that, oh, this wisdom of Christ being declared is sounding foolish. It does not look like it has the power to deliver me. So you want to move from that wisdom into another thing you are seeing. Because it looks like it gives results faster. You can try to subdue flesh by certain things, but you have not mortified it. You can feel energized by reason of some things. Why those guys were doing that thing is that it was appealing to their conscience. Why the Gentiles in the Galatian church began to queue behind the Jews and began to agree for them to circumcise them was because somewhere in their mind, in their learning of Christ, they began to see that, oh, if I can allow myself to be circumcised, then I would be perfect. Because when you look at the Jew was carrying himself in that aura of perfection. Not knowing that another way was being crafted that was not Christ. So the wisdom of Christ has the potential to deliver to you the power unto the end. But that is where the missing link is, that we are unable to follow through to the end. After a while of walking and following, when we are not seeing certain things that we expect to see, we can easily switch and try to fetch another wisdom, another power to validate what we have been hearing. So the Galatian church started out in the spirit, but they ended up in the flesh. So who has bewitched you? Because that's bewitchment. Mean that there was a witch amongst them. A man can preach a message of witchcraft. Witchcraft message is not Ogunle Oshole. No. The true witchcraft message is the message that you twist a person that has been learning the wisdom of Christ and you bring him and tell him that really what is the solution to your issue is flesh. And you coat it in the wearings of spirituality. So he asked, who has bewitched you? Because some people arose in the church and begin to bring forth ministrations that was turning the heart of people from the truth that they had learned in Jesus. He said, Jesus Christ has been evidently manifest amongst you. So these people were already seeing Jesus, but another person could rise and could divert their attention from Jesus. So the fact that you started learning Jesus is not enough, because you can easily be swayed if you don't continue. The war against the flesh essentially is a war against oneself. It's an inward conflict fought within the soul. This warfare must reach deep into the heart, confronting the entrenched nature that resists God. The believer is to wage war against the deeds of the flesh, its lusts, affections, inward tendencies, and hidden motions,
to gain victory over the nature. The long war against flesh often leads to weariness, hanging down of hands, and a sense of futility in believers. This deeply ingrained nature, cultivated across generations, might not be overcome overnight, making casual Christian efforts powerless and ineffective. However, walking in the Spirit is highly potent to crucifying the flesh. The responsibility for change rests upon the believer. While still in his fleshly state, he must strive for transformation, and even in his bondage, cry out for deliverance. Every inaction or docility only leads to greater poverty of the spirit. You cannot casually walk out of certain things until knowledge visits you. And you know, knowledge is not cheap. Now we can say that, yes, it begins with knowledge, but really, knowledge isn't cheap. For a man to have another insight, not just mental assent, but for the heart to see something different is not easy. Do you know that? And you know, the way the Lord was painting it to me was that there's a mold that flesh puts every man in. Is a mold of comfortability with your state. Is a mold of being okay. You might not say it, you might not act it, but somewhere deep down within, you still feel, I'm not that bad. You still feel, I can still go through this. I can still maneuver my way. And the Lord said, the picture I painted to me was the picture of blind Bartimaeus. And he said, do you know blind Bartimaeus would have remained blind if he did not go against what people would say? That is an arrangement of flesh. What people say? People were like, you are shouting, guy, calm down. Shut up. Keep quiet. The master, do you know this man? You have to maintain your dignity. Let him pass. No, maintain your steeze, maintain your composure. Just be okay where you are. Let this man pass without issues. Because they were talking to him to keep quiet. And the normal arrangement of every man is to give attention to what are people saying. You exalt the realities of people's voices against the fact that you are blind. So we are better off being corporate blind men. We are better off being okay. Because that day, maybe if it was 15 people that knew that blind Bartimaeus was blind before, it would turn to 1,000 people. Because a lot of people were following Jesus. So it would be like, it is now a national story that there is a man that is blind here. Many people would not have paid attention to him. But that singular act will make like 1,000 people look in his direction. That who is this person shouting? But despite the fact that they were shutting him up, his voice kept going louder. You know, there is a cry that the heart must generate to Jesus concerning issues, that some things have held you down for too long. And they are telling you, see, people know you are in sanitation. People know you are the quiet brother. You must keep this thing secret. Don't let them just be. Broken icon, you are doing well. Sister, and you cannot cry out and say, Jesus. So we just want to be corporate blind men. Corporate beggars, well-dressed, fine boy, fine girl. Everybody feels everything is okay about you. And you like that perception. You like the perception of men beyond the reality that you are having inside. So you must come to that point where you can cry out. The heart must generate a cry. And when Jesus called him, Jesus now asked him, what do you want me to do? Meaning that I believe the first cry, Jesus had it. But he kept walking. The second cry, when people were telling him to shut up, and he cried again, Jesus had it. But Jesus kept walking. Because the Lord Jesus will try your heart. Many of us, you know, you can be comfortable in that beggarly situation of people giving you money to eat every day. That you don't have to go out and walk by yourself. Abi, you have a garment. One of the ways that they identified beggars in the land of Israel was their garment. So when Jesus told Bartimaeus to come, the first thing he removed was that garment.
telling you that I am leaving this place, I'm not coming back. He was tired of that situation. So until you get to that point of tiredness, he's not just saying, he's not just talking. You can even, it's possible for you to call some people that you want to be accountable to them. But when you begin to engage, it will show that you are not tired of it yet. Because the thing they are trying to push, you still have walls around it. You still feel you have it sorted. You have not gotten to that point of, this thing, I want it off, and I want it off forever. So until we get to that point, we will see that flesh will still have a field day. Because the way to yank off flesh, you can't do fine boy and yank off flesh. There must be a cry generated from within. There are some flesh that you can't see. There are some that you are not seeing yet. There must be a cry that, Father, show it to me. David will cry. You search the heart. You try the reins. Show me, are there wicked ways in me? Because we can continue with wicked ways for years without knowing. And we feel that we are okay. We feel that we are fine. Oh, I have proximity. I know leadership. I know authority. But yet there are wicked ways in us that the Lord must drill down inside and excavate. But as long as we are comfortable, as long as we feel that the reason why we are here is because of certain things, if we don't know the real thing, we will be cheated. So flesh will have a field day. Everybody will see us as high up there. This guy preaches, this guy, but there are ways within us that has not been dealt with. So we have the responsibility for change. Dressed highly and mightily upon us. There must be a cry. There must be a hunger, a desire. You know, the strength of habit itself rests in certain pleasures we are deriving from it. There are pleasures that we are pulling here, pulling there, that until the Lord shows us another thing, we will stay there. I will justify it. In fact, there are some flesh that you can't justify. Feel that, yes, I did this because of this. I did that because of this. And when you tell certain people, they will align with you. Because they also are still operating by the manual of flesh. Mortifying the flesh, its lust and deeds. No, there are manifest works of the flesh, and there are some that are not manifest. Both of these things are things that must be done away with. Both the manifest and the one that are not manifest. Can we say amen? The war against the flesh has no general formula. It must be spirit guided. The fight differs depending on the circumstance, entrenchment, and the hold flesh has gained in the soul. Consequently, following generic instructions may prove futile, as every believer must receive specific, individualized guidance from God. Romans 8:13-14. Say, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So you say, if ye. So, you know, the reason why flesh, even as a Christ company, we must be wary. That wary is we must be aware and properly positioned against flesh. Do you know why? Colossians 3, that we read, that verse 5. If you read the first verse, it was saying that if ye then be risen with Christ. So the people he was talking to mortify their members on the earth are men risen with Christ. He was not talking to carnal believers here. So if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is alive, shall appear, then shall ye appear with him in glory. Now said, mortify therefore your members which are on the earth. What do you call them? Fornication. Unclean. So he's telling them that if your affections are not set right, your members on the earth can begin to engage in these things. The member, so that's why even when you are learning Christ, you must also apply every caution a newborn believer is applying. You must not think, oh, I've learned Christ, I've been made pure to the pure things that are pure, and you are still watching some things. To the pure things that are pure, you are still going to some places. To the pure things that are pure, you are still engaging in some, say, ah, no, she's my sister, I understand, we understand each other, we are born in the love of Christ. This is fervent charity. No, it's not fervent anything. That's why Thessalonians was saying that the people was talking to them already were having entrance into the living and the true God. And yet he was telling that you must know how to possess your vessels. Say, this is your sanctification. Mean that till the end, fornication can still fall a man. You must never get to that point and feel, well, I already have the gadgets against it. I already have the tools of it. You don't have it. As long as you are in this body, you must always learn how to possess your vessel. In sanctification. He said, this is your sanctification. Is a work. When you read the manifest works of the flesh, the first four were about sexual immoralities. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, the uncleanness, you know, all these things. You know, some people used to look for where is masturbation is in the Bible. It's under here. Because your thoughts are not clean. It's here. Don't look again. You have found it. So the agenda of the Lord is to drive you to a place where you are pure in thoughts, pure in actions, pure in speech. This lasciviousness is inappropriate, or another word is inordinate affections. The what we are called to have is tender affection one to another. Your affection is the same heart, is the same soul. But what the spirit-filled life will tend you towards is tender affection. Where you are seeing a younger lady as your sister. You are seeing brother, you see men as your brother. You are seeing older men as father, and you are treating them as such. But inordinate affection begins that sister, you will know when you are crossing the line. Yeah, it has happened to me. I mean, if you are talking to somebody and you begin to, you sensed, or even chatting, and you are sensing some motions within you. You have not said anything bad, but you are already exchanging motions. You are already exchanging things. No, that exchange is under here. You are already saying things. Yes, you say you are appreciating, but you yourself in your heart, you know. That's why some sisters, they will quickly tell you, say, guy, please stop it. Because you said something and it rang a bell inside. They felt something. If they keep that thing and you continue, they know that this thing will get me down. So they shout or you say, guy, I beg, don't ever. That's why some brothers are like, I can't marry that sister. Because what you did, you're already out of line. She was only trying to guard her space. She was only trying to keep herself away from that thing. You touched something within her that she knew that if you continue, this thing will not end well. So some of them, they use hard face on you. Say, guys, stop it. And you're like, no, that sister is not calm. She cannot be calm. Don't be calm. We don't want her to be calm. We don't want her to be calm. She won't be calm. If she's calm, we'll be angry with her. She has to put you in your place. Because you're already crossing the boundaries. Without exposure to the program of the New Testament, where writing on the tables of the heart becomes possible by doctrine and by the enabling of the Spirit, no true victory can be recorded against the flesh. To mortify the flesh, the believer must continually wait on the Lord, placing his trust in God's saving power rather than in his own ability. Some of the ways to engage in the war against the flesh, include... The first one is maintaining a spirit-filled life. Putting off the flesh depends on the believer's chosen lifestyle, which must be founded on maintaining a spirit-filled life. This required discipline must permeate every aspect of daily living. Hearing, can we say hearing? Meditating on and studying the word is the foundation of maintaining a spirit-filled life. Engaging with scripture reveals God's righteous standard and imparts the grace needed to walk contrary to the flesh. The word, whether read, heard, or revealed, is the potent seed against the flesh. Psalm 19, verse 9. Say, thy word have I hid in my heart, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed. Say, taking heed. Say, taking heed to the word. Verse 9. Let's go to verse 9. 19, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Really, there's really no cleansing without the word. When cleansing really begins is the era of the word.
The word of Christ, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. But the word of God, what these two things do is that they cleanse a man. Say, they cleanse a man. They cleanse a man. They bring you knowledge. After they've brought you knowledge, then they begin to engage you for cleansing by the word. The subtlety of the flesh is checkmate through heart searching, fervent prayer. Some people might say, oh, this brother doesn't like prayer. No, I like prayer. But there's a way it must be engaged. There's a disposition of heart and manner to engage prayer. But we can't rule out prayer. We can't rule out prayer. You must pray. You must pray. The understanding of the word must bear prayers within your heart. Must begin to show you what to pray about and how to go about prayer. Can we maintain a righteous hope against every contradiction? You know, some people, the reason why some work of the flesh is thriving is because of a hope. Say hope. As long as the hope is still here, work of the flesh will thrive. Because you are within the perimeters. Where your hope is where your heart is. Your hope is your treasure. If your hope is here, your heart will be here. If your hope transcends beyond this natural, your heart will also travel far. So the distance of your traveling in the spirit is the distance of your hope. That's why you cannot see hope at once. You cannot see the hope of Christ and say, if you can't see it at once. It has to be painted again and again and again and again and again. You must hear and hear and hear and hear. And hear. Your ear must be opened before you can see. See, these things we have heard. And we have what? We have seen. Before you see, is a while. There's a season that you are just hearing. It can take years to hear. And for you to now begin to see, it's also a period of time. You are still going to be ministering the word, but for some people, they are hearing. Some people, they are seeing. That has been ministering your everlasting life for a while now. For some of us, it's hearing. Some elders are already seeing. Some people are already looking upon it. Some people are handling. Well, it's different progressions under the ministration of the word. Hoping against hope is a mark of a spirit-filled life. Upholding God's righteous standards above the believer's present infirmities. Through this faith, consistent confession of God's word keeps the believer strong, steadfast, and resilient against the flesh. Rejoicing in hope and giving thanks are essential to a spirit-filled life. They serve as powerful weapons against the fleshly arrangements entrenched within the human frame. The spirit-filled life cultures the believer into an inward governance of the spirit. Some of those works of the flesh that you see there is because we lack love. See, because we lack love. Because all those other things listed after love in Galatians 5 are elements of love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The other things there are what? They are called them ingredients that make up the formation of love. So when you see a man that cannot hold himself, he lacks inward governance. They call it temperance. So when you see a man that, you know, anything he sees, he must eat. You go to a party, 1, 2, 3, 4, eat, 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 eat. You might not know that that habit of eating, not able to hold yourself while eating, is tied to why you can't say no when the urge to masturbate comes. So there's an interconnect between one and the other. So because we lack inward governance, many things are falling. Many things are happening in quick successions. But when by walking in the spirit, they can begin to install that inward governance, inward check. See, that check of before you do anything, you check. Before you do anything, there's a check. And then when that check comes, you don't just override it. You wait. I say, okay, Holy Ghost. Ah, okay, should I eat this or should I not eat this? Or some people, Holy Ghost cannot talk to them when it comes to food. You can't hear Holy Ghost again. Everything just becomes on zero. Bing! Holy Ghost is shouting, you know. I don't know if you've seen some movies or some cartoons that when there's an accident, people are shouting, but you're not hearing anything. So food is like that accident. When they see the array of food like this, Holy Ghost is saying, my son, is no, I can't hear anything. I was walking towards it to go and die. Hallelujah. So that check of whenever you want to do something, Holy Ghost prompts you and you can pay attention and wait. You know, that might be a saving before you fall into the other habit around you. So how you are going to gain victory out of that habit is by that check. So Holy Ghost is already checking you before that thing comes.
So you know when to carry your phone and make a call. You know when to step out. You enter a gathering and then you begin to see. You know when to push your eyes away immediately. You know, Holy Ghost will begin to prompt you on things. There's no hard and fast rule about it. If a man lacks that in word governance, everything around him will fall. Everything around him will fail. The first victory is that you are paying attention to the inward promptings. To that check, this food looks something. Holy Ghost can say, can you delay this eating for another hour? Just praying the Holy Ghost. And I'm like, no. This food, this thing, I must. And the Holy Ghost is, no, do. So when you win that warfare, it will be easier to win another warfare. The Holy Ghost is not just saying, stop this thing. No, he will begin to bring you through training and begin to strengthen you with an inward governance to be able to have power over other things. So at your workplace, if you cannot begin to receive check, don't talk to your boss like this. Or they tell you that, you have been going late. And Holy Ghost will tell you. Some people have never heard Holy Ghost in the place of going late. Their boss will keep getting angry. But they feel that that's the cross the boss should carry. And if you ask them, say, I wake up every night 2 to 4 and I pray. And Holy Ghost is not prompting you that in this prayer, you must also set alarm for 5:30 to wake up. It's not complete. So that instruction of knowing how to relate at work, that instruction in your household where you are staying, Holy Ghost is beginning to give you instruction of how to serve better. Say how to serve better. You might not see how that is tied to breaking free from certain habits, but it is tied to it. Because by the time Holy Ghost begins to instruct you in that area, and you begin to receive that instruction, because some of the instruction they will give you, it will be like you are dying. It will bring you under service. You have to serve some people. When you begin to express in that place of service, you will begin to automatically see. By the time you have served for a while, that's why you see some people say that after a while, I just saw that something dropped. It's not because something dropped. Holy Ghost began to tutor them in another route of how to engage the law of love. By that inward prompting, you going early is a show of love to that boss. You performing the task he has given you to finality is a show of love to that boss. Sometimes you meet some dead ends and you want to just go back and say it's not possible. And Holy Ghost can prompt you and say, wait on this thing again. Don't be too quick to go back and say you are unable. Just wait again. And as you are waiting, bam, something drops in your heart. And you go that route. It might be more difficult, more strenuous, but then you hit a gusher. And then that training has given you energy in the spirit against certain things that you have been battling against. So you are trying to say, I want to stop this. But you are not going through the route to overcome it. So you feel, I must fast. You can pray and fast, but except going through that route, you are still not a champion. You are not an overcomer in that thing. So what Holy Ghost wants to do is not just to make you stop some things. It's not just to stop, because as they are mortifying, what they are teaching is mortifying the flesh. So as you are mortifying the flesh, you are getting more alive in the spirit. He said, if you through the spirit mortify the flesh, you shall live. So you will not live if you don't know how to mortify the flesh. You'll be alive. So the primary interest of the Holy Ghost is to make you alive. He wants you to be alive in the spirit. And how to make you alive in the spirit, prayer and fasting might not get you there. It might be that there are some chores that are very demanding. And say, sit with this. And everybody's running away. And say, you, stay there. Do it. And make it your own. That everyone doesn't want to do it. I'm the one that will be doing it. And they are not appreciating you. And you keep on doing it. You can do it for 2 years. Before you know, something will drop off you. That is the way of the spirit. He wants to bring you alive. Mortifying the flesh. Mortifying the flesh is not what we've known it to be. Mortifying the flesh, it's through the spirit. You cannot mortify the flesh without the spirit. You can do activities and actions, but the flesh is not being mortified. The only route of escape, he said, every man that is tempted is tempted according to that which is his measure. Say, but with it, the Holy Ghost does something. Say, it provides a way of escape. The way of escape is the spirit. There's a way. Escape is not just one thing. It's a way. It's a way. It's a wisdom of how to engage. So when you say, I desire to do something, but I don't find how. The how is the wisdom the Spirit will begin to route you through so that you can find your way. You are going to walk out of it because you walked into it. We have been walking in the flesh all our lives. What Holy Ghost wants to do is not just to make you stop a habit. No. It's not just to make you stop an attitude. No. He wants to teach you how to walk in the Spirit. And there are routes to walking in the Spirit. When you say that, oh, I have this infirmity, and the man of God says, just keep listening. The reason why I say you just keep listening is by after a while, you will find the wisdom, the way to move out of flesh. That is it.
Mini wake fight. Wake up. You are not weak. You are not weak. I've not declared you weak. I've not declared you defeated. I've not declared you ended. I've not ended your story in that place. In that infirmity, I've not declared you ended. Awake. Arise. Awake in the spirit. Come up from there. I'm telling you how to come out. Come up. For this is deliverance. This is deliverance. This is that which you have sought me for. That which you have prayed for. That you have waited upon. Even that which you have been asking me about. I show you a way. I show you the way. In the Spirit. It's through the Spirit. It's not by might. Not by power. For you have tried. You have tried, and you have asked why it has not worked. And I say, it's because you have done it by your own might, even by your own power. But I show you the way out. I show you my Spirit. I show you the way through my Spirit. Mio power obentisianda. My own. You have done your own. Now begin to walk in my own. And you will see deliverance. You will see awakening. You will see strengthening even from that weakness, even that which has even tied you down, even that which has even declared you ended. I say, awake, and walk in the Spirit. See the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah. Generating and obeying righteous works, deeds through the Spirit. We've talked about this. The works revealed by the Spirit are steps in the Spirit to be taken by the believer who maintains a Spirit-filled life. These guided works stand in direct opposition to the flesh. The necessary strength and grace are continually supplied as the believer abides in that life. Walking in the Spirit is primarily the exercise of love towards the saints and the Lord. These works are wrought through humility of heart and faithful service. Whether expressed quietly or openly, the flesh can only be resisted and overcome through the Spirit-filled works. We have humility and meekness, condescending low, not thinking of oneself highly, and esteeming others better than oneself. are works generated by the Spirit to overcome the flesh. The exercise of the Spirit in mortifying the flesh must be accompanied by this posture of the heart, working the soberness to skillfully engage the war against the flesh. Now, this humility and meekness of heart, where you see it play out is when suddenly, you know, your brother just breaks into something, or your sister breaks into something, can even be in the natural. And then issues of the heart begins to arise. Issues of the heart. You can say no. No, you can even lie to yourself. I've left that realm. I don't think about such things. But you know that there's issues in your heart. Things will just begin to fight. So all of a sudden, you're like, ah, is that why she did not greet me well? Is that why he did not greet me well? Is that why this happened? Is that why that happened? Then you begin to come to a conclusion. Well, man, I just feel like everybody be in their lane. Let us serve the God they have come to church to serve. You know, conclusion just begin. And all those things are just flesh generation. I'm just generating flesh anyhow. Generate flesh, right, left, center, middle, just by all those things. And you know, it is just wisdom for you to take a step back and look at yourself that, am I being envious? Be sincere with yourself. Am I being envious? And you have to be sincere with yourself. It takes meekness and humility to know, to ask yourself some salient questions. Because flesh just wants to cover up everything and say, I'm fine, nothing is wrong. Everything is okay. But Spirit will draw you back and say, look at this thing again. Why are you being envious? Why? No, it's God that asks people direct questions. When he came to Cain, he said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? Why are you wrought? Why are you continents falling? Well, continents fall within you. It's God that will call you to order. Take a look here. Why? What's wrong with you? Eh? You just went to a function, you saw different things, and then just feel discouraged. You say, what is wrong with you? The psalmist will have to speak to himself. Soul, why are you sad? Why? No, that soul has already looked at the ways of the soul. The wicked is prospering so that they are enjoying life. But you that you are trying your best. But I say, nothing is working. And after observing for a day, you'll be like, ah. So humility make us look inwards and not make assumptions. Because that way you are trying to bring yourself as being righteous. You know that I have issues normally. Normal, I get issues. So all those things are what we will look into and say, Father, I think I'm envious of my brother. I think I'm envious of my sister. And then instruction will now come. That brother you're envious about, yeah, go and buy this thing. But he has the means, he has the resources, he has everything. Go and buy that thing. And that thing, it will still pay you. Because it's not something, you will not give that brother something that will not pay you. I say, this particular thing that you have been setting aside, can you just and go and do? And, no. When you obey that commandment, something has died. Something has been made alive. You might not see it, but it is registered in heaven. It is registered in the Spirit that you have carried out an obedience through the Spirit. That thing has been mortified. You have stronger power over envy. You have stronger power. Envy will not easily come to you as it used to come before. Some people, some things that come to us is like, you know, express. Third Milan Bridge on a Sunday morning. There's no traffic. If you, those thoughts as they are coming, they are finding way of entrance. Pew. But what Spirit will now do? That they will now build bombs. You know those bombs, speed bombs. So when that thought is coming, pew, go bye-bye, inside the bridge. And now, pew, pa, inside the bridge. And all of them like, calm down. I don't want that. This guy is already learning something. So what the Spirit does, say, when the enemy shall come as a flood, say, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard against it. So when they lift up a standard, that is when you have power to push back. Service. Instruction born by the Spirit are primarily directed towards serving the brethren and the Lord. Serving others, whether with time, say with time, resources, or strength, that our body, as revealed by the Spirit, is powerful enough to break the hold of the flesh, which thrives in secrecy and selfishness. Now, you will know that masturbation is an act of selfishness. Because you are doing something that will injure your wife in the future. So if you have that mind, you'll be like, if that really dawns on you and you don't want to be selfish anymore, you know that you have to keep your body. Yeah, you're keeping your body for, you know, that thing. You know, when you just begin to rewire, you begin to see things beyond yourself. It's beyond your pleasure anymore. It's beyond what you feel, what you don't feel anymore. It's now based on the standard of righteousness.
If you open your eyes to see what that thing is doing to you, you will stop it. The harm is causing to your body. The injury that you are getting. You know, you feel like, I want to stop this thing. You know, that they can just throw you to go and serve somebody. By the time you wake up, by the time you do that work, some rigorous labor, just get home like this. They don't want to come. When I want to sleep. You sleep off, you wake up like the first thing, bah. And they drop you like that for years. Before you know it, you'll be like, this is not day there again. No. Consistency and diligence. And that is one of the things. The boast of the flesh is in its power to weaken men, causing men to submit and become lawless captives of its reign. Therefore, the undoing of the flesh begins when the believer consistently walks according to the dictates of the Spirit. Diligence in adding instruction to instruction. Say instruction to instruction. As revealed by the Spirit, is necessary to break the hold of the flesh. Consistency in the word, fellowship, and spiritual exercises strengthens the believer for seasonal or occasional obedience. Cannot weaken the power of the flesh. We have some hard postures for crucifying the flesh. The first is repentance. When the Lord reveals standard to you over and over again, you must be ready to change. Repentance is turning. Say turning. It's turning. That hard posture of not holding on to your right. Sometimes your brother is confronting you on your matters, but you just want to justify yourself. You just want to hold your ground. I want to say that everybody, you can win that debate, but yet not move forward in the spirit. So sometimes repentance, you know, we had, you know, the last series we had special dedication to repentance. You know, denial, self-pity, excuses, rationalization only serve to strengthen the grip of the flesh within the soul. The exercise of turning the heart towards righteousness must become a continual practice. This discipline makes the heart malleable and tender, enabling it to be led in the path of righteousness while breaking its hardness. Hating the flesh. Vehement hatred for the flesh, its works and manifestation must be produced by the Spirit within the believer. Even a small tolerance for the flesh, no matter how minor it seems, allows it to retain its hold and continue to prosper within the soul. Hatred against the flesh can only be built when enlightenment visits the soul. It is the knowledge and understanding of what the flesh truly is, its consequences and its far-reaching effects that positions the heart of the believer firmly against it. That's why, you know, in a warfare, you know, when you see all these ancient movies, when you are fighting and you are gaining ground, if you stop and go and rest, before you come back, the enemy has overrun. That is your way against the flesh. So it has to be continuous until finality. No point must you. If you stop at some point and say, oh, we just finished this meeting, let me just enjoy 24-hour movie for like 3 days, and we come back again. That time that you're enjoying that thing, it's yet a law. Work has gone. Another thing that you now start fighting. So, war against the flesh is consistent. There is no holiday against the flesh. If you win it, though, it must be consistent and continuous. Patience. The war against the flesh must be waged with much patience and steadiness in the spirit. Hastiness, impatience, or an inability to follow through with the processes revealed by the spirit are all futile efforts against the flesh. Victory requires endurance, consistency, and a sustained walk in the spirit. We have trust in the Lord, his dealings, and his processes. The Holy Ghost initiates processes and orchestrates situations that expose the hidden work of the flesh, those deeds and inclinations that would otherwise remain unseen. Submission to authority and brethren. The one thing that daddy can say, you might want to do something very much, but daddy might can say something against you, don't do this. And it's painful, there's a lot of things, but you carrying out that obedience can be an escape in the spirit. You also have confession of sins. The flesh is inherently lawless, rebellious, and opposed to divine order. It resists structure, guidance, and accountability. Conclusion. The crucifying of the flesh and walking in the spirit are simultaneous works. Neglecting the body is, as is sometimes assumed, or displaying asceticism as a show of wisdom, is ineffectual against the flesh. The flesh cannot be truly subdued by mere abstinence or outward discipline. It is the works generated by the Spirit that are potent to crucify the flesh. Only through cooperation with the Spirit, empowered by his life and led by his guidance, can the believer mortify the deeds of the flesh and cultivate the new nature of righteousness. Can we just bow our heads this morning?
Hallelujah. Can we respond in the place of prayer? For help. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we appreciate Pastor Praise so greatly. Thank you so much. That was well taught. I woke up with so much burden in my heart. I was somewhere yesterday, and it's actually a family function, and I saw people that we grew up together, there's a way you can feel that, you know, imagine how are people behaving like this, you are better. And Holy Ghost began pointing to me tendencies also inside of me. You know, you went for a party. I went with my clothes packed. I went there just dressed down normally so that I can help with one or two things. I ended up not putting on party dress because my heart was burdened. Praying for them, but also praying for myself. It was a whole lot for me yesterday. Again, seeing that scripture that came to my heart, Pastor Praise made mention of it in Psalm 139. You know, when David is praying, because we need to know that there are things inside of us. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." So you can see the sequence there. Search me. After being searched, you know, you say, "O God, and know my heart." So when we are searched, it's for the purpose of knowing what is in our heart. He now says, "Try me." Because it is when they try you that they can know your thoughts. Yes. You know, everybody is good because they've not taken you to a frame or a process. You know, we can think that we are patient. You know, especially by virtue of how God has helped us and by virtue of knowledge, we have seen one or two things and how God has helped us. But there is still work. Because when they bring some situations, you discover things that are really, really in your thoughts. He now says, "And see if there be." So the essence of the prayer is that a man knows that if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me. So we can now see that the whole process, after all these things, they need to do a work of leading. It's a counter work. And all that Pastor Praise has taught us today, powerfully taught, is that there is no way to war the warfare of the flesh without being led. The concept of leading of the Spirit must be reiterated again and again. And not just being reiterated, we need to be conscious of it as a people. We need to know the process. You know, one thing I used to tell some of the people that comes to stay with us is that know that your life is not a coincidence. That you are in a particular place at a particular time. We need to have spiritual sense and know that that thing is for a purpose. Is for a work to be done in men. Another thing that is a place of consistency and diligence. You can commence a work. You can even continue it and you not complete it. You can repeat class in the spirit. There are classes that some of us carry over into marriage. There are things that are supposed to have been learned. There are things that we ought to have unlearned as a single. And this is also telling us, for some of us that are still single, that the process the Lord is taking you through, as much as we want to look forward to the next estate, can you look forward to the reason for this estate? You know, that they want to do a work inside of me, and I must see to the end of that work. Sometimes
Even the next estate will not open up if that work is not finished. On many occasions, they had mercy on us. They brought that vehicle to some of us. We exhausted it. Some of us, we live with our parents. You exhausted their dealings. And their dealings still did not deal with you. Because what are they dealing with? It's not us. It's a work. An enemy has done a work inside of us. Because for a pastor to achieve a work, it's not just only in the place of the word. A pastor must be highly prophetic. On many occasions, a pastor is seeing it. Even sometimes he might not be able to tell, but he knows what to do to come to the end of that matter. And that is why we need to know that our submission to the process in the house will go a long way to do a work inside of us. All these things are tied. And that's why if you are not meek, the daddy and mommy, if you are not meek as a people, flesh will remain. Flesh will remain. If we have an idea of how we think we should be dealt with, you know, there's a way you think they should deal with you. Maybe by virtue of where I am, by virtue of my status, excuse me, does that one make you sit on the throne? So meekness, consistency, all these things are wired together. And that is why if we will not submit ourselves to all these processes, we will not be able to really find how. Because every of the arrangement, you know, that the Lord brings around us is to achieve something. Flesh don't die. This we need to know. Flesh is a way that is unseen. And it differs in every soul. By reason of use from generations to generation. And that is why you cannot compare ourselves with ourselves. That somebody did something and it seems the person, you know, nothing happened, and you now see it as a reason why you can also do it. And as I said, they that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. Did you know that when it comes to battle against flesh, it's individual. He said, Abraham, my servant, I called him alone. I will fight my battle. My wife will fight her own battle. Even my children will fight their own battle. Because on many occasions, we have reasons. We give reasons and we accuse the other person why we should not. I cannot just do something. You should also do this. It's not about the person. It's first about you. It's first about me. And you hear the wisdom of the apostle say, I die daily. So it's a daily work. That just leads me to the place of consistency. They know that, see, this thing did not get there in a day. Only God knows the number of years where, before that, Genesis chapter 6, which also shows the place of submission too. That by virtue of a father being around, even though he had flesh, he was not expressing it. And he was able to curb a generation of people. See, you call them sons of God. After his demise. You know, it's a strive. It's a strive. And what I saw something there, fear. When the Lord told, something is fear. Holy Ghost was telling me, he says, charity is a more excellent way. It's not fear. There are things that can be fear to a man. I'm not just saying it as a beauty. It's like it's not really bad now. Yes, there are habits that is not really bad. It's not totally bad. Actually, when we could begin to compare yourself with some other people, I'm not doing that. My own is just a white lie. You know, it's just a wisdom in business. And when it comes to business, you just have to know this. What you are playing with can make a man in flesh. Because it's God that determined. They didn't know that by this just one decision. Even though they've been striving, they didn't know. They didn't know that Holy Ghost keep coming to them, telling them that they should not go this direction. That's why choosing a life partner can make you a flesh. You see it as just one decision, But that decision is germane to your walk in the Spirit. So what the Lord is bringing to us this morning is the way out. And the Lord is saying that it is possible. The reason for this morning meeting, I perceive so strongly in my spirit, is for us to know that it is possible, irrespective of what you have tried. If you have tried something, God bless you. You have tried wrongly, maybe in a manner. The Lord is saying that there is something you are yet to hit. There is a way. It's just a way. There is a way of escape. You have to say, arise! Thou that sleepest. Christ is a giver of light. He will say to you, arise! Don't sleep in that situation. Let me tell you, it might sound foolish, but this thing is life. It's life. There's no other way. Let me tell you the truth. One thing I have seen, and I've seen people preach flesh, overcoming flesh, one thing I have seen is that this thing is a way out. It's by the Spirit. And by the Spirit does not mean you are just speaking in tongue, gone pada. It's by fetching an understanding of how to walk. If you live in the Spirit, walk also in the Spirit. When that out is done on the man, and a man can exhaust it, he will come to freedom. In the allocation of Christ lies freedom from the law of sin and death. A law do not come in a day. So, custodied in the person of our Lord Jesus. Jesus had freedom, and he also has victory. And the Lord has all these things in abundance. He can give life to every death situation. He can give life. See, wake a fight inside of you. And that's why the opposite of faith is fear. When an enemy can succeed in making you feel that what you hold is substantial, you already win the battle. The intelligence of the adversary is to make you feel that what you hold, I don't think this thing can work. When you believe it, there is no need to fight again. But this thing we are holding. See, this thing, the Lord wants to show us something. The Lord wants us to hit something. We must see you. Paul said, I do not fight as he that beat the hair. This man fought. Beings that you are fighting, their spirit. You must have their picture too. Their frame must be made known to us. And that is why all that they are declaring to us is a frame of a person. They have victory over sin and death. They have victory over hell and death. And something we must also see. We must see his frame, how higher his frame is to what is actually our issue. We are tired of just having supernatural clinic. I don't know about you. It's good to have knowledge, but you must see something. I must see something. They must show to me how to fight. You know, one in that paragraph where it's talking about the subtlety of the flesh as secreted through the heart searching. After heart searching, speaks about fervent prayers. You know, one of the places that struck my heart so much is the story of that blind Bartimaeus. See, opening of eyes is gradual. We are talking about modifying, you know, the flesh. For every area of my darkness, I can know, in terms of knowledge, you know, I can know, but I see myself walking contrary. It's because I'm here to see. Until our cry. You know, we can cry for so many things. God knows that cry in other areas, but we don't cry on the issue of flesh. Some of us, your thought, what preoccupied our thought are the things that we are yet. And that's why they told the Colossian church in chapter 3, that if you be risen with Christ, let your affection. Because something is that we don't know the danger of walking in some things. There is a way we can have the mental knowledge, but it's not done on us. And that's why, can I tell you something? You can have so many people and one person is actually crying. I know blind Bartimaeus was not the only person in that crowd that was blind. But a man came to a point. See, one thing about the Lord is that he's going to try your heart. After he cried, he cried more loudly. And Jesus told him, what do you want? He knew what he wanted. What were you crying for? Are you crying that you want to marry next year? That could constitute somebody's cry. Nobody can be crying so much. Ha, 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 ha. The Lord is looking at what is your cry. Is my cry? Yes. Because he knows that when it comes to the issue of blindness, they pity you in blindness. Yes, because it's normal for you to be pitied in such a condition. And you know, you are okay. And you always find something to eat. Because somebody will remain as a beggar. It's a man through desire. You must first believe before you come to desire. That Proverb 18:1. Because we need to believe this thing. Your infirmity is not greater than the power that is in the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Is that true? A desire. Having separated himself. Seek it. And intermediate with wisdom. When wisdom visits a man, the next thing is power. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power. There is a power that can make free. What you are hearing is a power. There is a stand in the spirit. The Lord is calling forth. Cry that command the attention of the Lord Jesus. Not all cry can command the attention of the person of our Lord Jesus. A man cried in the crowd. And his cry, he made the Lord Jesus to turn towards him. You don't want to turn towards us this morning. I don't know if you are not tired. I am tired. And I'm also tired for some of our brethren. You know, we can complain about some issues. But we are not so compassionate on how, you know, even in the place of prayer and waiting for help to come to men. Can we pray that every eye should be open to walk out of their darkness? Because there is enough power in the house. That everybody will receive grace to be connected. And that everybody will, by this connection, break free from what has held them back. Because of power that is in the house. That the eyes will be open. As many people that are sleeping and they are sleeping back to their darkness, they will receive so much strength and air will be granted to every soul.
Oshuke keke, okoko koko, ike keke, iko ike, ikoko. Great fear in the camp. Great fear in the camp of the wicked. Great fear in the camp of the enemy. Great fear is resting upon them. Opinetu adenia kasia tanianto. For I'm arising on your behalf. I'm arising to wage a warfare on your behalf. Opio, I'm rising on your behalf. I'm beginning to do a walk. I'm arising to do a walk. See them quaken. See them lose their hold. See them lose their confidence. Me. For I'm arising in power. I'm arising in great authority. I'm arising in compassion. I'm arising in mercy, even upon you as a people, as you press forth. I'm shaking. Behold, I shake the heavens. I shake your head. Even things that have been enthroned, I'm beginning to shake. For spirit life will reign. Another rain is here. Press, for there is a deliverance upon you, said the Spirit of God. I am in my spirit. I am even doing that which I did with my son. Even come to take captivity captive. Even come into your captivity. Even entering your captivity. I'm entering your captivity and I'm turning it. I am turning that captivity. I'm entering even captivities of graves. I'm turning even captivities of hell. Alam under Vesoprangendele Mama Porogotiaska. And even concerning you, am I leading your captivity captive? I'm leading your captivity captive. I'm bringing into captivity even that which has captivated you hitherto. Even that who have brought you under its own captivity. I'm bringing the captivity and alebro to skeske, even that is in me, even that captivity, and amolo prandope. I am taking them captive. I am bringing them even into the captivity of the Lord, for it is my ransom. Amoliando palusendo fisandelimandelia it is susum blendiantandolopa. For I brought this lesson, even because it is a time, even for to judge your captivity, even those things, even that has intimidated you, even those things that have stared at you, even those things that have stared with you and refused to move, even the captivity of the Lord is brought, even into this house to lead all captivity captive, said the Son of God.
Amen. Hosea 13:14. He says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. There are some infirmity. Some are even laws. Some are tied to covenant. Some are tied to testimony. He said, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy place. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from my eyes. The Lord is not ready to repent of this. The enemy has done a great havoc. We are under light and he's still dealing with some of us with issues that should not be once mentioned among us. He's a terrible enemy that will never give up. In Revelation 12, the spell is doomed. In Revelation 13, he came back again. Because he's a terrible, he's a spirit. He doesn't give up. You are the one that want to give up. Because you have tried for 3 years, you want to give up. Or you have tried for 4 years, you want to give up. You are the one that want to give up. Eh? Now who give up? Fellow. Even your enemy is not giving up. He's not giving up. And that's why the Lord said, I'm going to make sure that I will heed repentance from my eyes concerning his work. He said, though he be fruitful among his brethren, and his wind shall come. That men will come to learn, men will come to knowledge of what to do, the will of God. The wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness, and his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up, and he shall spoil the treasure of all. This is what the Lord wants to do. And I want us to cooperate with the Lord. One of our brothers in the body sang a song. He said, channels of my spirit, open up. There are times you need to pray and pray and pray until things open up inside of you. There's something that must open up. It has to open up to receive from the Lord. Can we pray that the Lord will shake again as he has promised? He will shake the heavens. He will shake the earth. He will even shake the sea. This is the promise of the last day. It's just for a people to arise. That the Lord will leave no stone untouched. And show us mercy. Can we pray in the name of Jesus?
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.